Hey friends, welcome back here to the Semi-Seminary, and here we are, another week, another installment of our Bible study series we're calling the Bible for Grown-Ups. We are now in part three of our study of Samson, and we are going to continue to look as this man, this person filled with godly potential, continues to make mistake after mistake after mistake. And one of the things that we're really going to hone in tonight is not only about Samson, but about ourselves. That often when we find ourselves in life-changing sin, we recognize we didn't just end up there all of a sudden, but rather, we got there step by step, convincing ourselves all along that we are making the right move. But all the while, step by step, moving away from God, finding us, putting us in perhaps a situation that we never even could have thought possible in our lives. That's where we're going to find Samson tonight. That's where we sometimes find ourselves. Let's look for Samson in ourselves tonight, friend. What do you say? I'll see you on the other side. Ready? All right, let's get started. Here we go. In case you just joined us, let me just give everybody, just to reset the scene here, a little bit of backstory on this very frustrating character in Hebrew scripture that we know as Samson. If you don't know his story, Samson was actually called by God, set apart from birth, rather, to lead, deliver the Israelites in order out of the oppressive hands of the Philistines, who had control over the Israelites at the time. Samson was given supernatural strength, you may or may not know, to do and be that person God needed him to be. But we're also going to watch in the story of this very strong man, what is so common to folks is that so many people have so much God-given potential. Just like Samson, we see him making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. In the first week, we looked at three attitudes that made strong people weak. That was our saying for our title for the first one, strong people weak. The first attitude that makes strong people weak, I want it, as he pursued a Philistine woman, something he was forbidden to do. The second thing, entitlement, I deserve it. Right? He went and touched something that was unclean. In this case, the lion that he had killed, he wasn't supposed to touch dead things. Right? That was forbidden in his Nazirite vows. He was this set apart part person in the Israelite culture called a Nazirite. And the third problem was pride. He puts himself around alcohol. Again, as a result of being a Nazirite, something he wasn't supposed to do. And all along, we could see Samson's attitude saying, I can handle it, I want it, I deserve it, I can handle it. And we saw that our spiritual enemy, Satan, loves to make strong people weak. But the good news we discovered is that we serve a God whose specialty is making weak people strong. Last week, our second week, we watched as one of the common problems with folks, we saw Samson was emotionally driven, not spiritually led. We watched him give in to the common emotions that can affect so many of us folks so often. The emotions of anger, the emotions of pride. We saw Samson, as many folks, right? We want to be the main character in our story, right? But we found out that often when that happens, our lives end up with disastrous results because our lives aren't designed for it to be we that are at the center of our story, but rather God is always the main character of the story. At the end of last week, we saw as Samson killed 1,000 folks, right? And he kind of came to himself in the middle of the desert after doing this and realized, oh my gosh, I'm in real trouble. I'm now public enemy Number one, the Philistines, the entire Philistine army will come after me with full force, and they'll either capture me or they'll kill me. Or, if that doesn't happen, I'm going to die out here in the desert. And we learned a principle that sometimes we need to allow our deepest need to drive us towards God. Because if we allow our deepest need to drive us towards God, we'll find that God will always meet that deepest need for us. So we pick up the story tonight. We're going to relook kind of where we dropped off last time. And then we're going to take off from there. Again, we find Samson in the desert, very thirsty. As you can imagine, killing 1,000 dudes makes you very thirsty, right? And he cries out to God. We start tonight in Judges chapter 15, verse 19 and following. Scripture says, sorry, but like Peter from the Brady Bunch, when it's time to. Then God opened up the hollow place in Lehi, and water came out of it. When Samson drank of the water God provided, Scripture says, his strength returned, and he revived. As he turned back towards God, he again got strength and was revived. The Bible says, so the spring was called En Hakkor, and it is still there today in Lehi. Verse 20, Samson led Israel. Remember, he's a judge. He's the 12th or last of these judges, right? Here we have Samson. He's turned back towards God. And verse 20 says, he leads Israel for a period of 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Now, when I say judge, the book of Judges, whenever I talk about Samson being a judge, don't think like the guy in the black robe and the gavel, or the woman, right, with the gavel. That's not like the judicial system. It was more like a tribal chieftain, somebody within the tribal system that was recognized politically, economically, militarily in this case. They had power and they could make decisions for the people, okay? And so he serves as one of these leaders of the Israelites for 20 years. Now let me just pause here for a moment. Because if we're not careful, we can skip right over verse 20. Right? And verse 20 in Judges 15 is actually a really amazing verse. In fact, if I'm pretty sure it's actually the first bit of good news that we have in this whole story so far. Because in one verse, verse 20, it captures 20 years of apparently Samson's faithfulness to God. Samson had just had an experience with the living God at Lehi, where he was refreshed and revived. And all of a sudden now, he's back on the right track doing what he had been created by God to do. And one verse, verse 20, sums the whole thing up. For the next 20 years, he led faithfully as a judge over Israel. We're going to watch, tragically, guy who's doing things well, honoring God, serving God, just as many of you might be right now. But by the end of our study tonight, we're going to see a guy with so much God-given potential making poor decisions, ending up with his eyes gouged out, his hands shackled, and he will be the laughing stock, chained in front of his enemies, the Philistines. Which raises a question, I think. How could a person, man in this case, a person of so much strength, with so much clearly God-ordained potential, mess their life up so badly? And the answer, I think, is our key thought for today. And it's this. Samson didn't ruin his life all at once. Samson ruined his life one step at a time. The same way many folks mess up their lives today. Most folks don't mess up their lives all at once. Most, I'm not saying it can't happen. Most don't, right? How do most people mess up their lives? One step at a time. Let's unfold. We'll actually start now in 16, verse 1. We've just had 20 good years in Israel, and the Bible says one day, right? Everybody, say one day for me. One day, Samson went to Gaza, where he got a prostitute. Wait a second. Here we have 20 good years of faithfulness to God. And the Bible says, one day. It's interesting if you read or know the story about King David, right? He kind of has the same kind of situation kind of happened to him. He went and had an affair with Bathsheba, and the story starts out with David the very same way. Scripture says, one day, when kings were supposed to be off to war, David wasn't at war. He was walking around the palace, and he saw Bathsheba, and he was like, check that out, right? Just one day. It was just one day. One day, folks could start making bad decisions that lead them into a step-by-step downward spiral. And we're going to see this happen exactly this way in Samson's life. One day, Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. He went to spend the night with her. Verse 2. The people of Gaza, these are Philistine people, the enemies of the people of God. Right? They were told, Samson is here. So they surrounded the place and they lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, at dawn, we'll kill him. Now, what's the significance of this? Gaza, where he's at, wasn't just Philistine territory. It was the capital city of the Philistines. Our idiot here, Samson, goes into Philistine territory, goes right into the capital, and not only in the capital, he walks right downtown into Leadership Square to get a prostitute. He travels 25 miles to risk 20 years of faithfulness to God. Again, this raises a question. Who would be so stupid to risk so much for so little? And the answer is mostly men. But folks do it every day. Folks do it every single day, don't they? I mean, all of the time. I have a good marriage, good integrity, good ministry, good career. All of these good things, and they risk it for a quick sexual fix, for a quick high, for a quick experience. Why would we risk so much for so little? The problem is folks do it all the time. Right? Now, think about this. Because I want to use this step-by-step thing, okay? Because I don't really have anything to do all week but just sit and watch my Bible hover over my desk. I was actually thinking about this. How many steps would it take for a person to walk 25 miles? So I did a little research, and I found out that to walk 25 miles to where he went to in Gaza, it would take 56,250 steps, right? That's about what I do in a day, right? So think about this. 56,250 of these. How do most people ruin their life? One step at a time, not all at once. And the other thing to think about, which is pretty amazing, if you think about this, remembering that this guy had just experienced, not only has this guy experienced literally God, the Spirit of God descending onto and in him to strengthen him time and time again. Not only did he have the experience, right, with the well, and he was revived, and that turned into 20 years of faithfulness to God. What I also think is interesting about 56,250 is that's also 56,250 steps opportunities that Samson had to turn around and say, this is stupid. Why would I do this? What are you doing, Samson? And yet he didn't do that. Right? And here's the problem. Why? Because most folks don't expect to ruin their lives. Right? I mean, he certainly didn't. I don't know a single man who has ever said, you know what, my 10-year goal from now is to be, I mean, a seriously perverted sex addict. Right? I don't know a single person who says, you know what, I want to be so locked up into a pornographic world of lust and of fantasy that I can't even have a real and meaningful relationship with somebody because all I have learned to do for the last 56,250 opportunities is to objectify women, right? Nobody plans to end up there. So how do we do it? Step by step, right? I don't know a single person that says, you know, I want to be unfaithful. I want to destroy the lives of everybody that's important in my life. Right? But one step at a time, one decision, bad decision after another, and we end up in a very ugly and bad place. One step at a time. No one says, I want to be broke. Mega broke. I mean, I want to be embarrassingly broke. But what happens? Oh, a boat, a car, golf clubs, computer. How am I going to get out of it? Gambling, multi-level marketing, right? Maybe this will get me out of it. And you're trying to start a business, you can't even balance your own checkbook. Step by step, we end up in big, big trouble. Right? No one ever says, I've got a really good marriage. Things are going well, I need to mess this up with an affair. Right? You know, I was just walking along one day and I tripped over a bed and fell into it. Right? That's not how it happens. It's so odd. I just never saw that coming. So what I want to do, now that I think I've made my point, is to show you Samson's small steps that led to a big destruction that we can find in God's Word. The first thing that we see with Samson is Samson taunted his enemy. Again and again and again, Samson taunts the Philistines. Verse 3, but Samson lay there. Again, he's with this very user-friendly girl, right? But Samson lay there in the middle of the night. Then he got up, he took the doors of the city gate together with the two posts, and he tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Now, what's just happened? He's with the girl. The Philistines are outside. Remember, they're out waiting for him because at dawn, they're going to go after him. He's under the cover of night, goes out to the gates, takes the doors of their city, rips them off. And these aren't hollow core doors, right? I mean, remember, ancient world, the walls and the doors, sometimes they're two stories high. One commentary I read said that these doors would have been about 700 pounds. He rips them off, right? And he's basically flipping off the Philistines. Because, again, the doors symbolize their security. He's doing this to the capital city of the Philistine people. And basically, essentially, what he's saying is, you think you're safe? You're not ever safe around me. He lifts the door 700 pounds above him, right? And so often, many people, we taunt our enemy because we forget the reality that we do have a spiritual enemy whose mission is to steal, kill, and destroy everything that matters to the heart of God. Scripture says our enemy roars around like a lion seeking someone to devour. Folks, I need you to understand, Satan doesn't just want to beat you up a little bit. Satan doesn't want to just wound you, right? Satan isn't coming kill you with buckshot. I'm sorry, with rock salt. Satan is coming to devour you. Right? We could totally, and I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I am trying to focus our understanding of reality that we, as followers of God, do face a spiritual enemy that wants nothing more than to see us separate from the heart of God. And we'll go to any length for that separation. Okay? And I think a lot of us just, we get cocky. Right? We think we're okay. We think we're standing firm. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians, Paul says in chapter 10 and 12, for those of us that are go to celebrate recovery, so if you think you're standing firm, be careful. Some other versions say, watch out that you don't fall. Be careful, Samson. The first thing Samson did was taunt and underestimate his enemy. The second thing he did that I think we all do, and I can't speak for you, I can tell you, this might be number one on my greatest hits list of biggest sins that I commit, or at least things I do with regard to my sin. He rationalizes the same old sin. If you remember from week one, the first thing we saw Samson do wrong was go after a Philistine woman, right? You don't go after women who worship false gods. It's just good advice, right? Here we see him again a second time, verse 4. Sometime later, right? He fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Right? I can't help but think about wanting to dedicate a love song every time I... But here's what he's doing. Now this is the third time that he's messing around with a Philistine woman. And folks, we are masters of rationalizing our same old sins. Right? Not everybody, I get it, but there are a lot of us. It's just my one thing. I mean, generally speaking, I'm a pretty good guy. It's my one thing. It's nobody's business anyway. I'm not hurting anybody, right? I'm only looking. Or if, you know, she'd do a little more, I wouldn't have to. It's just how I get through things. It doesn't really matter. It's nobody's business anyway. We're masters at rationalizing our old sin. And that's what Samson does. Watch verse 5. The Bible says the rulers of the Philistines went to Delilah and said, see if you can lure Samson into showing you the secret to his great strength and how we can overpower him so that we may tie him up and subdue him. And so what they do, right, is they bribe her. They give her a ton of silver, a lot of cash. And she says, okay. You know, I'll try to get the secret out of him. Verses 6 through 14, you can kind of read that. I'll give you the short version of this. She says, tell me the secret to your strength, right? And then he starts giving her these lies. The first time he says, if you get 7 straps, your version might also say new bowstrings, right? Tie me up with those and I become weak as any other man. So he goes to sleep. She goes and has him tied up with the 7 bowstrings. She says, Samson. She says, Samson, wakes him up. The Philistines are upon you. And he breaks out of these bowstrings, dispatches the men. She says, oh, you lied to me. Tell me what it really is. And he says, it's ropes, brand new ropes. Tie me up and I'll break them as any other man. He goes to sleep. They tie him up. Samson, the Philistines, right? And he comes, breaks them up. You lied to me again, she says. Tell me the real thing. He says, okay, it's my hair. Wait, not yet. He's getting close to telling the truth here, but not quite yet. He says, if you take my braids and you weave them into the fabric and you stick them with this pin, then I'll be as weak as any other man. So they do that. Samson, they're upon you. Right? Comes out, breaks out of it. She goes, that's enough. I want to know. You know, tell me what is the truth. And watch what happens here. I'm not making this story up. This is in the Bible, folks. This is good. Verse 15, she says to him, oh, Samson, how could you? All right. That was bad. How can you say I love you? when you won't confide in me. This is the third time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret to your great strength. Verse 16, I'm not making this up. It's in the Bible. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. Some translations actually say sick to death. She prodded him day and night until he had become sick to death. All right, it's in Scripture. I didn't make it up, so if the shoe fits. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day. It's funny. I think it's funny. Okay. Samson was strong enough to kill 1,000 folks. Samson was strong enough to slay a lion barehanded. He was strong enough to lift 700-pound doors above his head, but he wasn't strong enough to lead this woman. Friends, don't just be strong in business. Don't just dare be strong in your hobbies. We need to concentrate on being strong in leading with our righteousness. We're strong in so many areas, and we let this stuff slip by. When we need to be honoring God righteously in every single thing we do. Watch what happens in verse 17. So he told her everything. No razor has ever been used on my head because I've been a Nazarite set apart to God since birth. Remember, again, the Nazarite vows are you don't get drunk, you don't touch anything dead because it's unclean, and you don't get your hair cut. Okay? He said, if my head were shaved, my strength would leave me and I would become as weak as any man. I love this. He says, because I was set apart to God since birth. It's almost a sense there of a remembering. It's almost even for a moment there, Samson remembered who he was supposed to be. It's almost as if he's remembering for a moment who he had been created to be. And respectfully, folks, that's where a lot of us can be. We've forgotten the person that we were created to be. Right? We've forgotten that God didn't just put us on earth to take up space, to be semi-successful with our jobs, with our lives. God gave us gifts and passions. God's given us a calling to glorify God and make a difference in this world. Sometimes we just have to remember, I was made for more than this. And Samson, he's almost glimpsing back, right? But then he says, hey, the secret's in my hair. Verse 19, having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair and so began to subdue him. And what happens? The Bible says, and his strength left him. I wonder how many folks out of disobedience to God are doing battle every single day on their own strength and forgetting to tap into the power of God. God's strength left him. He didn't mess up his life all at once. He took step by step. He taunted the enemy. He rationalized his sin. And the third thing I'd like to show is Samson assumed his disobedience wouldn't cost him. Just like many folks today, we assume, hey, I can get away with it again and again and again. If I've gotten away with it once, I can get away with it again. He assumed his disobedience would never cost him. Verse 20, then Delilah called out, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep, right? And what did he think? He thought, I'll go out as before and simply shake myself free. I'll go out. I've done it 3 times before. I'll do it again. I've got myself in this precarious situation again, and I can just get myself out again. This won't cost me. But he didn't know, Scripture says, that the strength of the Lord had left him. And he thought to himself, I can go out just as before and shake myself free. But he didn't know that things had changed. Folks, may I say humbly, There may have come a time when you've gotten away with it once, and you've gotten away with it again, and nobody's found out, and nobody's held you accountable, but you may go back to the well one more time thinking you can talk your way out of it. And she finally says, that's enough. Or you may come home to the kids and say, oh, but I promise. Next time I will. And your kids say, no, enough. Or you go to your boss, but I promise. Right? I'll get it right this time. Let me off this time. And the boss says, that's enough. Because so often, folks get away with so much that we think we're just going to get away with it forever. I'll do like I just did last time, and I'll just shake myself free. He didn't realize, and so often we don't either, especially in incremental step-by-step destruction, we often fail to realize, just as Samson, that our sin will overtake us. Our sin can overpower us, overmatch us. Because, friends, our sin will find us out. He thought, I can get away with this. It's not going to cost me. But he didn't realize that the Lord had left him. Verse 21, here's the tragedy. Then the Philistine seized him, gouged out his eyes, took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles, and they set him to grinding grain in the prison. How did a man with so much God-given potential end up in such incredibly bad shape? He didn't do it once. Do it all at once, right? One step at a time. So, folks, for many of us, that might be a moment of truth. What I want to do is ask you very sincerely. I want to double dog dare you. Whatever it takes. I want you to be really honest with yourself and ask yourself this question: where are you stepping away from God? It could be number one for you. It could be step four for you. You might be at step 56,249. What are you stepping away from God? Here's the thing. For some of us, it could be just as simple as we are a Christian, but we're not spending appropriate amount of time in God's Word. Right? We're a Christian, but we're not spending enough time in prayer. Right? In other words, your hair is still long, right? You're still in church. You still have that outward sign that you're following God, but inwardly your heart is separate from Him. For others, it could be lust, right? I want it. I got to have it. It might be a lust-filled pornographic world. It might just be a lust for things of the world. Or it could be that entitlement. I deserve it. It could be pride. I can handle it. It could be anger, apathy, passive living, right? So many of us are so aggressive in so many ways, and we're passive. We're not actively leading where we should in the world if we want to make a difference. It could be greed. We get caught up in the world. It could be financially. We're disobeying God in one way or another. It's any one of a number of things. I just want to challenge you to have the courage. Have the courage to be honest about it, to answer to yourself truthfully. Because here's the deal. This is hard for me to swallow, and it might be hard for you to swallow too, friends, but it is the truth. We are only as strong as we are honest. So where are we stepping away from God? Now, as I close here, I just want to summarize this whole thing in one short moment. Here's the best picture I can give you. If you're stepping away from God in any way, step number one, step number 56,249. If you're stepping away from God in any way, here is the message tonight. Don't miss it. Here it is. It is simple and yet profound at the same time. If you're stepping away from God, what should you do? Turn around. You should simply turn around. Go the other way. It's that simple. And when you turn around, who is going to be right there? waiting for you. Your God will be there waiting for you. Right? It's an opportunity for him to prove his faithfulness to you, if only you would turn around. Now, as I close, I want to show you, and to me, this is the most exciting, the grace, most grace-filled verse in this whole crazy, crazy, amazing story. Right? And what we're going to find out is, okay, what was the outward symbol of his inward devotion to God? The hair, right. It was his hair. What did he just have cut off? His hair. He got his hair cut. So what's going on now? Publicly, he's been shamed. He's standing before everyone. And his lack of hair says, I disobeyed God. But God, in his infinite mercy, put one verse in Scripture that captures God's love and God's grace. And what does that verse say? Samson is there with his head shaved, publicly humiliated. But verse 22 says, but the hair on his head, the hair on Samson's head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now, why is that verse there? Because I think it's just how good God's grace is. Even though he had outwardly disobeyed, God said, that which gives you strength will grow again. Next week, we're going to see that just because a person is down does not mean a person is out. But though a righteous person falls seven times, they rise again. Friends, remember, Satan loves to make strong folks weak. But our God loves to make weak folks strong. And our lesson tonight teaches us anything. It teaches us if we stepped away from God, if we will simply turn back, God will be there to help your hair grow again. And I'm not just a client, but I'm the founder of the company. I don't know. I'm bald. You guys remember that commercial with the hair replacement thing?
Yep.
Sorry. Small steps, big trouble. It's interesting, isn't it? How when we look back on our lives, the experiences, the seasons we've gone through, maybe when we look around in the tornado that is our lives right now, and if we're honest with ourselves, again, we're only as strong as we are honest. We would have to admit this didn't happen all of a sudden. Nine times out of ten, this isn't the result of one mistake, but rather, maybe it's more than 50,000 steps to get us where we are. Chained in front of our enemy. We've lost our eyes. Humiliated and embarrassed. Wondering, how did we get here? 50,000 steps, and all we have to do, simply and profoundly, is turn away. I know it's easier to say than it is to do, but that is as simple as it is. We're going to see next week that even though Samson's down, he is not out and ends up still the hero of his story. Until then, friend, I hope you'll join us. I want you to be well, okay? See ya.